Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues, especially this season of the year. We've been talking about all week the subject, the issue. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? How do you celebrate Christmas? What do you see Christmas as? Do you see Christmas as a holy day? Or just a holiday? There's a vast difference in the two. I'm surprised to find the latest survey shows that 52% of American adults, only 52% of American adults, believe that Jesus was the greatest teacher and nothing more. I'm surprised with that, saddened by that. Yet we ought not to be in the society which we're living in. So as we celebrate Christmas, may I say to each and every one of you listening today, Merry Christmas. As we celebrate Christmas, we need to focus on the reason for the season. I know you've heard that statement for years and years and years, but it's very real. Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. That's what we'll be talking about today. Be looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. And let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. If you'd like to join in the dialogue and discussion, we're asking you to call in, share with us how you're celebrating Christmas. What does Christmas mean to you? Why do you think we should continue to celebrate Christmas? Why do you think there's such a war against Christmas? Why do you think that there's such a battle to prevent Christmas from being celebrated in America today? Those are some of the questions I'd like to have your response, your dialogue and discussion on. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further we find in the scripture, in John 17:17, the scripture is very, very clear. It says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to not worry about the truth of scripture diminishing, the truth of the word of God in some way being abrogated or changed. It is the truth that stands. And may I remind you, truth is not sought after today as in yesteryear. Truth is not viewed as being appropriate or vital in society today. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, there's a decline in America of truth, and it's linked to the death of truth in the church. Listen to what he says. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation, end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, the millennial age group, you know, the age that's out demonstrating in the streets, demonstrating on the campuses, cheering on Hamas terrorists, and taking a stand against Israel. That same group, 55% of the millennials in America, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we seek the truth, learn it, live it, love it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it even to death. There's a need for that in our society today, perhaps more than any other time in the history of our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a giant benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the old glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a brief few moments for a opening monologue. Then we'll introduce our special guest for today as we talk about the subject, who is Jesus? And part of that discussion, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about the holiday. Listen, the holiday that you ought not to celebrate this Christmas season. There's a fake, phony holiday created back in 1965 and 66 by Marxists that's being celebrated today by parts of the culture in America. It's dividing America racially as a result of that fake, phony holiday. We're going to talk about that in just a moment as part of our challenge to recognize who Jesus Christ is. Ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, remember it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember who Jesus is. Jesus is not just a prophet, although he was a prophet. Jesus is not just a good teacher, although he is a good teacher. Jesus is not just a holy man, although Jesus Christ, God come into flesh, is high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, the scripture reminds us. Jesus Christ is not some intellectual guru, as he has been called by some of the woke progressive intellectuals in America today and some around the globe. So many of people call him that. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, very, very carefully understand. According to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, Jesus Christ came into the world. He took upon himself, that's an addition, the form of man, the scripture says. That's the outward shell, the outward manifestation, the outward flesh of human being, a man. But it did not divest himself of any of his deity. There are some today, I watched one on national television recently, that said that when Jesus Christ came into the world, that he shed himself of all of his attributes of deity and was not fully divine until he ascended back into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a devil's lie. There's never a moment in Jesus Christ that he was not 100% God and 100% man. Anything less than that, he is not truly God. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the birth of Jesus, according to the Scripture, is good news. Good news to all men, the Scripture says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. When the announcement of Jesus' birth was made to the shepherds in the field, they were reminded that Jesus' birth should bring great joy to all people. But listen very carefully. Multitudes of people today have rejected the reality of who Jesus Christ is. Somehow, some way, there's a mindset in the heart of mankind that believes that if we just reject Jesus, deny Jesus, refuse to know Jesus, refuse to accept Jesus, that somehow that will diminish who he really is. You can use all of the dogma you like. You can use all of the dramatics that you would like to put into place, and it still does not reduce who Jesus Christ is one iota. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. And just as when that announcement was made to the shepherds in the field watching their flock by night in Luke's gospel, the second chapter, that announcement is just as relevant, just as real, just as great, because the Scripture says it's good news. So I want us to understand today, when we talk about celebrating this Christmas season, that it should be good news to every individual, and it should bring great joy in the realization and the recognition of Jesus Christ in his first coming. But today, ladies and gentlemen, there are multitudes that are fearful, unsettled, as they ponder the birth of Jesus. And I believe it's because so many do not realize that it is good news of Jesus' first coming. And his first coming and the purpose of his coming are not recognized, realized, or embraced by society today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have today with us Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 representative for the Florida House here in the state of Florida. We're delighted that he has taken time out of his busy schedule to join us on the broadcast today as we talk about who is Jesus. Congressman, welcome to the broadcast today. Looking forward to what the Lord is going to say through us as we share the good news with the listeners today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And I'll tell you that your opening monologue was excellent, right on target. When you state that Jesus and God are one and the same and cannot be separated, I'm so glad to be on your show today.
Well, I'm thankful that you are. We are thankful for you. And by the way, lest I forget it during the course of our show today, Merry Christmas to you and your entire family. I pray that God will bless immensely as you serve him and as you have time with your family to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congressman, when we talk about the question, who is Jesus? If you were sitting and talking with an individual and they asked the question, who is, how would you explain to them who Jesus Christ is? Because one of the things I believe that we have in Christendom today is that we fail to recognize there's so many that do not, that were not brought up in a Christian home, were not brought up in a Christian atmosphere, were not brought up understanding the Scripture and the Bible being shared with them. And so how would you share who Jesus is? Who is he? Why is it necessary? And then, excuse me, I have had a cough and I'm trying to wean it off today. But anyway, how would you share that with them? And then the reason for Jesus Christ coming?
What I would share with them first, Dr. Youngblood, I would say Jesus is God. God and Jesus are one and the same. You cannot separate them. That's why we have in the Old Testament, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." You cannot separate them. I would say Jesus is God. And the reason why God became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son. Why did that have to happen? God saw that mankind had fallen and was in bondage to sin and could not free themselves. We could not break away from the sin that was within us, that was brought upon the earth when Adam rebelled against God. He became disobedient. That made us slaves to sin. And we could not free ourselves. We could not buy our way out of it. We could not work our way out of it. We could not earn our way out of it. We couldn't do good works to remove the sin. We could not follow the Ten Commandments and be removed from sin for two reasons. One, we're unable to keep the Ten Commandments. It's impossible. Why? Because of the sin that is within us. So God so loved the world, he had compassion on us, praise God. He had compassion on us and said, I must free them from their sin. They can't do it on their own. They're like sheep. They have all gone astray. Every one of us has sinned. And because of that, we cannot be in God's presence because he's a holy one. And sin cannot be in the presence of God. So God said, I must, if I'm going to have them fellowship with me, then I must go and take their sins. And he did. And the Holy Spirit came upon a virgin, Mary, and she gave birth to Jesus. And they said, you will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So here's God now in the form of a vulnerable baby. He was not subject to be killed or to take on any diseases as a baby or as a child growing up because he was there for a mission. His mission was to save mankind from our sins, to be our savior, to finally release us from the bondage of sin. And whoever accepts that gift from him, because it is a gift, he will not force it on us. Whoever accepts that gift of Jesus being the one, God himself being the one to take away our sins so we can have fellowship with him, whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen. I'm reminded of Matthew 1:21. Congressman, and in Matthew 1:21, Joseph is told by an angel in a dream that his wife is going to, his betrothed, engaged wife, Mary, is going to have a son. And Joseph was agitated. He was wondering, what should I do? Because in that culture, an unmarried woman expecting would normally be stoned to death at the city gate. So Joseph, being a just man, the scripture says in Matthew 1, was pondering what he should do, how he should handle that information. And the angel in that dream told him, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, that's a powerful statement. I believe that our modern woke culture today, Congressman, is trying to forget Jesus, living as though Jesus was never born, living as though Jesus never came into the world. But I recall, and perhaps you do, back in, I believe it was 1969, Dr. D. James Kennedy wrote a book, and in the book says, what if Jesus was never born? What if Jesus was never born? And just two or three little things I recall from that. First of all, if Jesus Christ had never been born, there would be no revelation of God to man. In fact, in John chapter 1 and verse 18, the scripture says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten, that's the referring to the virgin birth, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Literally, it is Jesus that shows mankind who God is, because as you said so aptly, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. But Congressman, I'm not confused, but concerned gravely to find our society today diminishing spiritually, morally, and ethically across our nation. And I believe part and parcel of that is because of the lack of theological belief in our pulpits. I'm looking at an article that says almost one-third of evangelicals, I'll read this, then I'm going to ask you a question. Almost one-third of the evangelicals, only 30%, agree that Jesus was merely a great teacher. Almost one-third. Now, this goes on to say, and while 66% of American evangelicals disagree with that statement, Jesus was a good teacher, but he was not God, nearly 65% will agree with the statement. Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. In other words, Congressman, according to this statistical material, about a third of our preachers in the pulpits and evangelicals, which is the broad brush for the Christian denominations, only about a third have the position, almost a third, they say in an article, just say that Jesus was a good teacher, that he was not divine. How do you respond to that, and how should we take, what should we take as a result of that?
Dr. Youngblood, so often we are apt to blame the church for the condition of not only the United States, which no one can deny as right now is in a degraded situation, mm-hmm. from our leadership on down. We see it in the Biden regime, just immoral, irreligious people. And we see it at our state level of our elected leaders, down to the county levels. And so often we want to blame the church, that the church is not standing up, that the pastors in the pulpits are not doing enough to push back against this degraded culture. And I would come against that, Dr. Youngblood, for this reason. The church is the body of the living God. Mm-hmm. It's each and every individual who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if you are serious about being a Christian, about being a follower of Jesus Christ, then you will read and study his word and know what it says daily. You will consume his word, that it is food to your spirit and health to your flesh and all your bones, that you would consume it on a daily basis. Well, too many members of the church, I'm not just talking about the pastor, the mm-hmm. members of the church are ignorant because they do not read his word, and they will accept whatever those pastors are telling them. And too often, those pastors are telling them things that will just tickle their ears, what they want to hear, what they desire to hear. And why? Because the more people that attend and do not leave the church, that's more people who will give to that church, not necessarily tithe, because most churchgoers do not tithe, mm-hmm. that will give to that church, and then that church likes that money that is coming in. And so the leader of that false church is going to tell them what they want to hear. They will not pronounce and proclaim the sin that is in their life and that is in the world and the answer to that. And that's why so many today just believe that Jesus was a great philosopher, that he was a good teacher, but not their Savior. They don't see him as their Savior. So I don't blame the church for that. I blame lazy Christians for that. Mm-hmm. Because Christians who are strong in the faith will not accept falsehood that is coming from the pulpit. They will leave that church, or they will have a talk with that pastor or with their deacon board or whoever, and tell them, look, you're not preaching the solid word of God, and you need to start doing that. And that will awaken those pastors, who, by the way, a lot of them today are coming from these churches where they did not get the full doctrine of Jesus Christ. They did not get the full teaching. And then they start a church simply because they see that as a way of making a living instead of bringing salvation to many.
One of the things that we find, and you touched on it, read an article recently, said church has become a big business. And then just the early morning reading an article while still at home this morning about churches with these multi-campuses. Some of them have 7, 8, 10, 15 campuses, and it's become a big business. I'm finding that the majority of those do not have a doctrinal statement published on the website so that you could read and know what they believe and what they don't believe, where they stand. It is kind of an amalgamation of whatever you want to believe. Just come so that we can build a big church. And that's simply not biblical. But the fact is that had Jesus never come into the world, there would be no revelation of God to man. But the second thing that sticks out in my mind with Dr. D. James Kennedy's book of 1969 entitled, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? There would be no reconciliation. Reconciliation, of course, as it stands, man in his lost sinful condition is at enmity, separation, at war with God, if you please. But Jesus came into the world to reconcile man back to God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. So I want our listeners to ponder that question. What if Jesus Christ had never come into the world? What if he had never been born? Congressman Hill, if Jesus Christ had never come into the world, there would be no Christmas. There would be no Christian. There would be no church. There would be no celebration. There would be no looking forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things, Congressman, I'd like your impression of it. I believe that one of the things we see happening in America today, if you can discount the deity of Jesus, if you can refuse to embrace Jesus Christ as God come into flesh, as you and I were just talking, then there would seem to be a mindset of no accountability to God. And I believe man today, mankind in general today, is seeking to live without any restraints and without any accountability to God. And that's being promulgated from the Oval Office. I read a frightening article just day before yesterday where the Biden administration funded $500 million to promulgate atheism on a national and global level. How do you respond to that in view of where we're talking today about who Jesus is? If there were more in the world today that would embrace that Jesus Christ is God, came into the world to save mankind from the sins, I believe we'd have a diminishing of the wicked, evil, immoral activity. But what are your thoughts? What would you say in relationship to the answer to that question, in relationship to had Jesus never come into the world, what do you see would be the results in our world today?
Dr. Youngblood, we know what the results would be. The Bible describes it to us. As in the days of Noah, before Jesus was born, every thought of mankind was wicked. It was horrendous. It was full of murder, lies, deceit, to the point where God said, I am sorry I even made man.
Yes.
It was a pitiful situation that we were in, and God said, I must rid the earth of this situation, and
yes,
we're going to start
over. WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Encouraged by Biden immigration and border policy, a large caravan of migrants trudging north through Mexico, looking to join the millions of other illegal immigrants who arrived in the U.S. under President Biden's watch. Congressional negotiations on immigration and the border crisis due to resume at midweek. Republicans insist on tightening border security before they will approve any additional funds for Ukraine and Israel. The U.S. has attacked Hezbollah targets in Iraq following a drone attack by the Iranian-backed rebels. It wounded several American service members in northern Iraq, one of the Americans critically injured. Two lawsuits argue that Nebraska's two largest cities are violating a new state gun law by prohibiting concealed carry in public places such as parks. On Wall Street this morning, stocks higher. The Dow is up 93 points. NASDAQ ahead 61. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is fitting for the era in which we're living and the time that we're living in today. As we celebrate the Christmas season, I believe it's vital that we ask the question and probe deeply and broadly the question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Who is the one that in the announcement to the shepherds as they were watching their flock by night said that it is good news that will bring great joy to all men? Is that really what we see taking place today as we celebrate Christmas? I pray that that is the case in your home. We have our special guest today, Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. Congressman, we're delighted again that you're with us. Let me ask you a very probing, deep question. Multitudes today, even as Christians, want to mitigate against or out and out reject the virgin birth. What would it be? Who would Jesus be? Or would we have a Jesus Christ at all were it not for the virgin birth? Explain to our listeners briefly why the virgin birth is so vital as we celebrate Christmas.
Dr. Youngblood, it had to be a virgin birth for 2 reasons. One, to satisfy prophecy. In the book of Isaiah, where we had Isaiah came to King Ahaz and said, look, these Assyrians who are surrounding you right now, Jerusalem, and are going to destroy it, it is not going to happen. And ask the Lord for a sign to prove that it will not happen. And King Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask him for a sign. No, I'm not going to do that. Then Isaiah spoke and said, I will give you a sign. A virgin will give birth to a man, and he will be the Savior of the world. Well, when he made that proclamation, it was 730 years before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And so to satisfy prophecy, Jesus had to be born of a virgin. But the other reason, which validates who he is, but the other reason is because man being tainted by sin. Another man, any other man other than God, could not have been the seed that Mary was going to carry because that seed would have been tainted by sin. It had to come from God himself. And as the archangel Gabriel pronounced to Mary when he said, you are going to have a child. Behold, you are highly favored. You will have a child. And Mary said, well, how can that be? Saying, I have never been with a man. And the angel responded and said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And that seed is going to be holy. So it was God himself who planted himself in Mary, and she carried that seed through its process of growing and becoming a baby in her womb and then being born. And so that means that then Jesus being born was holy. It was not tainted by sin at all. That's why it had to be a virgin birth, so that God himself would not be tainted by man, that Mary had not been tainted by another man who had touched her before Jesus was born. So prophecy had to be fulfilled. Mary had to be a virgin. She had to be untainted. And then the Holy One came from that union with God and Mary.
Congressman, you're spot on, and I'm thankful for your stand theologically, doctrinally, and biblically. Now, I'm going to mix the waters up just a little bit, but when the prophecy is given in Isaiah 7:14, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, it is the word Alma, A-L-M-A-H, in the Hebrew text, which simply means young maiden. So multitudes, and I've dealt with them down through the years, multitudes of the liberal theologians, liberal-minded, liberal-trained pastors will mitigate against the virgin birth in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following, and say that that's simply saying a young maiden has nothing to do with anything beyond that. Well, so that enigma could be erased, God, in his sovereign purpose, used the word parthenos in the Greek text for the virgin. The word parthenos means a young maiden never having had sexual relationship, so that it can be clear in the Word of God that the Virgin Mary, never having sex with Joseph, that's the reason Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and following, was kind of agitated and in a state of wonderment. What should I do? Should I do as culture calls and have her stoned to death? He was pondering that when he was told that she would have a son, and his name would be Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. And Joseph was satisfied with God's answer. But the point that I make in my brief rambling is that it is clear in the Scripture, God's word is marvelous. It is wonderful. It is fascinating. God's word gives us words that carry the depth and the breadth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. There can be no misunderstanding. So that virgin birth was necessary. In fact, Congressman Hill, one of the things that I used as a proof text back in 1984, when I had the privilege of authoring and publishing a book entitled Could Jesus Sin, I used Acts chapter 20, verse 28. In Acts 20:28, it says, and I'm going to paraphrase, when Jesus hung on the cross, it was God's blood that was shed. God's blood. If it's Jesus and Jesus is not virgin born, he would not have been divine. And yet the scripture says, when you study the whole of scripture, Jesus had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. He was sinless. The term that is used is he was impeccable, impossible for him to sin whatsoever. And I believe that it's necessary for our listeners today to understand we serve a mighty God. We serve an amazing God. And as we recognize who Jesus Christ is, it should cause us to celebrate with great joy, realizing that it is good news. Congressman, I'm going to change gears a moment because we have a holiday that multitudes celebrate today that is a fake holiday. It is called Kwanzaa. And there's a great division in America today over that celebration of that holiday. I've done tons of research down through the years on that subject. And I want you to address that for a moment. We're finding it's bad enough with some that we find with race division, but it even exacerbates that division when there are a number of Christians that will choose to celebrate Kwanzaa rather than celebrating Christmas because their approach is saying, well, that Kwanzaa is for the black Christian and Christmas is for the white man's Christmas. What do you say to that juxtaposition of false teaching out there that's being consumed by so many?
It is utter nonsense, Dr. Youngblood. And you're right, it started in the mid-60s, and it was an idea that was fomented by communists who wanted to see another way of dividing this nation, dividing it racially, and so they came up with this made-up, nonsensical holiday, which they simply pulled parts of this religion, parts of this tradition, parts of this and that, and they came up and they tried to call it Kwanzaa, whatever that means. I mean, even it's an African name that they made up, that they said, okay, this is going to be our holiday now because Christmas is the white man's holiday, which is stupid. And the reason it's so stupid is because Christianity was, of course, started there in Jerusalem by the followers of Jesus who were Jewish, who were Middle Eastern, not white Europeans. It doesn't matter anyway. Christianity is a religion for all people. Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, of all people, that whosoever believes. So this idea that Kwanzaa is our Christmas and they can have their Christmas is utter nonsense, it's foolishness, and anyone who falls for it is foolish. And we find that even those on the left, white people on the left, want to acknowledge and be a part of and help celebrate Kwanzaa when they don't even know what it means. And it's just ignorance on their part to even fall for it. And I'll go so far as to say this, Dr. Youngblood. Most people don't know what Hanukkah means or what it was all about. And so when this holy season comes upon us in the month of December, there are so many who will say, Happy Hanukkah, thinking that it's the Jews celebrating Christmas in their way. No, it's not. But it's simply out of ignorance that they would fall for that. And it's the same thing with this Kwanzaa nonsense. There is no white man's Christianity. It's for all people. The color of your skin has nothing to do with it. What continent you were born on has nothing to do with it. It's your acceptance of our Savior to take away your sins because you can't do it yourself.
Amen. I'm looking at a headline, Congressman. Kwanzaa is a bogus holiday made up by a jealous racist. It's a holiday that didn't exist prior to 1966 and was never fully mentioned in any popular culture until the early 1990s. It was invented by Dr. Karenja, K-R-E-N-J-A, Karenja, and that wasn't even his full name. Dr. Ron, as he likes to be called. His real name. Said the long and short is he felt blacks were left out of the religious celebrations during Christmas and out of the celebrations in Honda for, for Hanukkah year after year under the guise of Christmas has been too commercialized, he said then. He created the non-religious holiday of Kwanzaa for black community, for the world, and it's a fake holiday. Another headline says, Kwanzaa was a holiday brought to you by the FBI, and it's a large article. It goes into detail about how the FBI used that man as, they call it, an FBI stooge in his development of Kwanzaa in order to divide the Black Panthers, the liberal groups that were in the world and that in America at that time, with the multicultural gibberish, the article says, and have forgotten the real history of Kwanzaa and the one that really started it. Massive article.
That's right.
But it goes into details about the Marxist communist person that started it to promulgate racial division in America. In fact, in my research of that subject, Congressman Hill, even the terms it's used and the so-called tribes it's named and the outfits, costumes it's used, have no rational reason or fundamental foundation with anything on the continent of Africa or any tribe out of the continent of Africa. And yet multitudes today believe that somehow, some way, that's an honorable thing. And so the reason I bring it up is to encourage our listeners, especially as we're speaking to a major Christian audience, don't be deceived in believing that somehow, some way, Kwanzaa is a holiday the same as Christmas that is mollifying, nullifying, and destroying the reason for the season that we call Christmas. And so I'm urging all of our listeners, do not, I beg you, do not honor Satan and dishonor God by celebrating a false, phony, fake holiday called Kwanzaa. I believe, Congressman Hill, it is something that would be detrimental to a Christian testimony to celebrate such a holiday, knowing the reason behind it. So I encourage our listeners, don't be fooled by it. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at a headline article from Matt Staver, Liberty Council, called Defending Christians, Defending Christianity, Christmas. Said, believe it or not, the district, this is a school district, had decreed that the color green could be permitted if it was about the Ouroboros. But since red and green are traditional Christmas colors, they're not inclusive and they're not permitted. It is in Wisconsin. The city administrator and deputy city administrator sent an email banning city employees from using religious decorations that are associated with Christmas. How do you respond to what we see happening? In fact, a book was written on that subject years ago called War on Christmas. How do you respond to what we see happening when there are cities and municipalities that will set guidelines and rules that prevent Christians from celebrating Christmas as is honorable to God? What should Christians do? Should they bow? Should they bend? What should we do as a Christian community?
Christians should ignore such false decrees that come down like that and go ahead and promote Christmas, promote their Christianity in the face of persecution. And Jesus told us, don't be surprised when the world persecutes you for my sake. They hated me, they're going to hate you also. And here in America, we've become so soft as Christians that we think the idea of I might lose my job is persecution that I do not want to accept. And so they will hide their Christianity. Mm-hmm. And when we have Christians in the world today, Dr. Youngblood, who are being killed for their testimony of being Christians and not wanting to back down from proclaiming that Jesus is their Lord. And so we have this nonsense in our big cities, as I said, who are being led by immoral, irreligious people right now. And we look at Minneapolis, where I think that one of those decrees came from about not using those colors.
Yes.
That is a city that has become predominantly Muslim. And that is because Barack Obama imported a lot of them from Somalia and other Muslim nations around the world and congregated them in Minneapolis, in Dearborn, Michigan, and in other cities in the U.S. to where they are now the majority, where they are electing council members and mayors who are Muslims and who are now demanding that you no longer practice your Christianity. That should be denounced. It should be decried. It should be denied. And instead, you openly declare that you are a Christian. And if persecution comes, so be it. But what did Jesus say with the Beatitudes? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when they persecute you for his name's sake, because that is how they treated the prophets, and great will be your reward.
Amen. Congressman, you mentioned that, and we were talking about that case with Matt Staver and Liberty Council about that decision for the city. Perhaps you're aware of it. It just came out, I believe, yesterday, the day before yesterday, as far as the news. Wisconsin has developed a brand-new state flag. Have you seen that?
I have.
That state flag looks almost identical to the, quote, Palestinian flag. And that goes back to the root of what you just said, where it is such a dominant Somalian Islamic culture there. They've now left the old flag and developed a new flag, which symbolizes the nature, as I would call it, and the content of the state of Wisconsin being almost dominated by the Somalian Islamics. I'm concerned where we see that going. But when we think about Christmas and the celebration of Christmas and what we need to do, I just said we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, not be deceived by what's happening around us. Don't be deceived by any fake holidays. Don't be deceived by what others may say with the cities and counties and states and so forth trying to diminish the truth of Christmas. I'm looking at an article. I'll touch on it, then ask you to elaborate. It says, why do we celebrate Christmas? Number one, we celebrate Christmas because an angel said the birth of Jesus is good news. Explain that. I think our listeners may, for the most part, understand it. But explain why the announcement of the birth of Jesus should be good news to the whole world.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, that angel announced to the shepherds, behold, I bring you tidings, greetings of great joy, because born unto you today is a Savior. It is good news. We should celebrate the fact that he said, peace on earth. In other words, he was saying, God is declaring, look, mankind, you and I are not at war. Mm-hmm. It's not between you and us. There is peace between you and us. I am going to give you a way now that you have access to me through my son, through me. When you call upon the name of Jesus, it takes you right into God's throne room. And God made access to man on the cross. When the heart of man turned from stone to flesh, when Jesus said, it is finished. And because man's heart changed from stone to flesh, the veil in the temple was torn in two, which separated the most holy one from man. God could now come into man's heart, live with him and sup with him and walk and talk with him.
Amen.
That was all done by God. That is good news.
Amen.
That you do not have to be in bondage to your sin. People know, those who haven't even accepted Jesus, they know there is something wrong inside of them. Why do I do what I do? There's something wrong here. Well, God will save you from that. Even if you continue to do something wrong, He has saved you from it. He has forgiven you from it. And you can now have peace and fellowship with him. All you have to do is accept it. That's why it is great joy, tidings of great joy. That's why it's good news.
Amen. That'll preach. I pray that our listeners are understanding, as we celebrate Christmas, there's a reason for the season. That's Jesus. And we celebrate Christmas, Congressman Hill, by giving and receiving gifts. We celebrate Christmas by decorating a beautiful tree, calling it the Christmas tree. So I've got a twofold question. Because there are some Christians that say we ought not to have a Christmas tree, that the tree is a symbol of paganism, therefore the Christmas tree ought not to be the focus or ought not to be in Christmas. And secondly, there's a whole group of Christians and others in general that disagree with the fact of giving and receiving gifts at Christmas time. Identify what you see in those two arguments, and is there a valid foundation for either?
No, there is not, Dr. Youngblood. Those who say we shouldn't have a Christmas tree is because they take on the idea of the Druids who worship trees. They worship nature instead of the one who created nature, God himself. And they're saying this is a form of paganism, of putting the tree there. It's like the Druids who worship the tree. No, that is not it at all. But the tree is simply a symbol of renewal. It is a symbol that we are going to bring this growth, this tree that has grown, into our home, and we're going to decorate it to make it even more beautiful. And the idea of gifts became from the original Kris Kringle, who was born into a wealthy family. He was a saint of Myra, that was at that time in what we call modern-day Turkey, and would give gifts to people until he gave away all of his wealth. And so following that example, we give gifts to each other on Christmas Day, just as God gave the gift to us, his son.
Amen.
Our way of giving and receiving, you must receive him into your life. Or just like if I give you a gift, Dr. Youngblood, and you don't open it and don't receive it, then you never did get the gift. Mm-hmm. So giving and receiving our Savior Jesus is so important.
Absolutely. Congressman, we've got about 45 seconds on the broadcast. I'm going to throw it back to you and ask you to close this broadcast, celebrating Christmas, with a challenge to our listeners about Christmas, the value of it, and what we should do this Christmas.
What I would say, Dr. Youngblood, is look to Christmas Day, which is coming very soon, with expectation and joy. And be with your families. And let it be a day of peace and joy and happiness. And those of you who don't know what that means, of how to celebrate it, simply bow your knee right now and say, Jesus, come into my life. Show me who you are. Show me what this all means. Take away my sins, that I might be a participant in this tidings of great joy. And he will in no wise cast anyone out who asks for his salvation and
Amen.
For that relationship with the living God.
Yes. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And ladies and gentlemen, our audience today, Merry Christmas. We pray that this has been a blessing to you. Looking forward for us to meet again, once again, on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor.